All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you that our steps are ordered. We give you praise in all things. We don't turn to the left or to the right. We don't get distracted. We keep our eyes focused upon you, focused upon the point of life, which is to give you praise. We do that tonight. We gather together in the name of Jesus for praise, for learning, which is praise to you, for growth, which is praise to you, for more power and more understanding, which is praise to you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're faithful to teach, to open our eyes, to remind us of word, to cause us to be holy, to tell us when to pray and tell us when to take action. Thank you, Father, for your plan in our lives. We receive it now with thanksgiving as we open your word and grow. We do this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
We get time for testimony?
You bet.
Today I was coming back. I was in Salt Lake City this morning. And flying back this afternoon, I got to the airport. And as I was checking in, I started to get like the spots out here around my peripheral vision, which is an indicator that a migraine is coming on. And so, and it's not the headache so much that bothers me, but it's the loss of balance, and I get really weird with it anyway. So I made my way. I finally got through ticketing and through security, and it's feeling getting worse and worse to the point where I can hardly see where I'm going. And I get to the gate, and I'm sitting down there. And I'm praying, and I'm saying, "Hey God, this needs to go away. I mean, if I fly like this, it's going to be really bad because I haven't been actually physically sick with that." And it wasn't going away. And I kept hearing this voice that said, "Go get something to eat. You need something to eat." And I thought, "No, I need to have more control than that." And then the voice is saying, "Go get something to drink. You need something to drink. You need a Coke. You need a coffee." And I thought, no, that's not what's going on. So I got on the phone and I called for Patrick. I said, "Patrick, you got 10 seconds? Pray for me," because he was working. And so he prayed over me and said, you know, that no weapon formed against me was going to prosper. So I hung up from that, and I'm sitting there, and his voice is still saying, "Go get something to eat. You need something to eat." No. And I prayed and I said, "God, the only thing I need is you. I don't need coffee. I don't need food. I don't need aspirin. I only need you."
Man.
And within about 2 minutes, it was gone. Just
praise
like
the
it
Lord.
Never happened. I had my eyes closed. I was praying, and I opened my eyes, and it was gone.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, everybody knows I went for an interview. The interview went very well. Imagine that.
You're surprised?
Not at all.
Surprised you didn't
know? I remember God speaking through me Sunday that, you know, we have favor with God and
man.
That's
right.
And so I've got another interview tomorrow night with the engineers. And, you know, just one of the big problems we had there is the guy who's there that's the manager and one of the people who works with him are just not cooperating with the engineers and are not, you know, doing what it takes to, you know, to be a team player.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so no more interview and the job one.
Amen.
I'm prophesying that, but I believe that with all my heart that, you know, God didn't open this door just to have a slam in my face.
And this is the job with your ex-employer.
Exactly.
In a closer place.
What's that?
Closer to your house. So I think that's fantastic.
Now,
what else would you call a plan of God?
Yeah. It's always better.
Anyway, then also, I've been talking to my kids here recently, and here about a week or so ago, they went to a camp after Charles got back from CUSAC, which is a thing that they do once in a while in the military. And lo and behold, what's happened is they have asked Charles and Joanna to be a part of the youth ministry of the church. So they went up to this camp and spent a day or so, and they're going to be in all the youth activities and stuff like that. So, and Charles is excited. Joanna is too. I mean, I don't think it's been any secret that Charles has a call in his life. And his choreography that he does, the church and the youth especially, have just absolutely fallen in love with that. So, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, you guys didn't know, but I just got a job.
We knew.
Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. not as much as we'd hoped for, but I started to get, you know, worried about that Nancy. And here he preached on, you know, this and everything else. I'm thinking, you know what, Mark? You've got it all taken care of. I don't need to worry about this. I looked at the budget and I said, well, we have $10 to spare at the end of each month. I guess that means God's going to take care of absolutely everything. That's a tight budget, but God works in mysterious ways.
Hey.
Hello.
What did you do, stick one in the saddlebag?
Now, if I want to go back to her testimony. You either had a migraine or you didn't. Which one was it?
I did not have a migraine.
What did you have?
There was an attack on me for some whatever reason. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
So,
that's a great part of Psalm 9.
911.
That said that the arrows that fly by night and the pestilence by day, or whichever order that goes in, none of that strikes me.
Well, I find it interesting that we're very quick to name things, but we don't use any of the names that the Bible uses. We use names that men use. We don't call them arrows. We don't call them darts. We don't call them attacks. We don't call them principalities and powers. We give them formal names such as migraine. And that's how they get to be family.
Do we name them something familiar?
We have a name. Do we not have a name? When did we need another name?
We don't. We have a name higher than any other name.
But the Bible has given us some other names, not to call on, but to remind ourselves what they are.
Amen.
See, if we call something a migraine, we welcome them in because that's something that men just normally have. So we say, come on in. I guess we're supposed to have it. But if we'd call it an attack of an enemy, if we'd call it a fiery dart, if we'd call it those things that the Bible calls, we wouldn't welcome them in so fast. That make sense?
Yes, amen.
Because I'm not going to open my door to a fiery dart.
No.
I'm going to slam that door. Or pestilence. And God never had a plan for you to have $10 left over at the end of the week. That's not God's plan. I don't care what your budget says. You know, what does the word say? It says more than enough, right? $10 is not more than enough.
No.
Not in our economy. $10 is not more than enough. That's not enough money to tip your waitress over the week. God has a plan, and the enemy has a plan, and we need to quit talking about the enemy's plan and talk about God's plan.
Amen.
Yeah. That's bottom line. I would recommend that you, if Patrick can reproduce it, as in any Bible study, it's going to be a little hard to listen to, but we had some really good points last night at the Bible study, talking about something that we're not going to talk about anymore called the devil. The devil. That's another name that we need to quit naming. He's a fiery dart. He's pestilence. He's lie. But he has no other name. It's very difficult when you start looking for his name in the Bible to find out exactly what he's supposed to be called. Defeated one is what we know him for now. And if you want to get that and listen to it, it's not only a good teaching, it's a good statement of where we're going to be and where we're not going to be.
Amen.
The Bible says, by the way, it gives us direct instructions on what to think about. Did you know that?
Yeah.
What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are
lovely?
Lovely.
What's
the, and those are the things we're supposed
good
to
report.
Think
about.
So we don't think about diseases.
Right.
And we don't think about a little wimp that has no power, no authority, is not omnipresent, called the devil. Why in the world do we want to use something, talk about something that has no authority? The only way the devil, or our enemy, or a pestilence, or a fiery dart, or anything else can get into our lives is if we open the door.
Right.
How do we open the door? We think on those things.
That's right.
I haven't thought about him. He's a little. What does the Bible say about our enemy? One day, when he's finally revealed to our eyes, we're going to say, that's what I was worried about? Well, why do we want to wait so long?
Yeah, exactly.
Why not go ahead? We got good info. We got good intelligence. Why don't we just know that he's about this tall? That's just about. Well, he's got to have a neck, so he's got to be at least this tall. He has an Adam's apple that's exactly fashioned for our foot.
So it's a concave one instead of a convex?
Chicken neck in reverse, I guess, or something like that. He's been totally defeated and humiliated. Now, this is scripture we're talking about. Openly. And I told him last night, openly means you know it too. It wasn't openly then, it's openly now. That's what openly means, then and now, because there is no tense in the Bible. I know he's got warts on his nose because I put them there.
Amen.
I know that. He's very ugly. He stinks.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what's supposed to be on the bottom of our shoe?
Amen.
Okay. Has no authority, no power. The keys that he did have were taken away. All right? His jail cell is already prepared, and it's not in a good place. He's tormented continuously with knowing that he's a total humiliated failure, and all he wants is somebody to go along with him. Right? And the way he does that is he convinces you that you're wrong. Why? Misery seeks company. That's what he wants. For you to feel broke, busted, disgusted, sick, sinning, all the negative things that's what he throws up to you constantly. What is our job? You do know you have a job. Our job is to keep that door shut. You don't have any authority here. And if you mess around, I'll show you. You best find a weaker vessel. And if I find out you're working on a weaker vessel, I'll come help them. That's right? What we're talking about. It's absolutely scripturally correct. So if we're to think on those things that are perfect and perfected, then we don't have time to think on an enemy that's been totally rejected. And we don't have time to mess with sicknesses and disease that has already been taken to the cross and defeated. We don't have time for being without, because that's another thing that was taken to the cross and defeated. Right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Can I tell you a joke?
Mm-hmm.
If I can remember it, I'm going to tell you this. This newsman decided, this was during the little temporary meat shortage we had. The newsman went to the airport and he decided to interview three people. He picked a Californian, a Texan, and a New Yorker. And he walked up with his little microphone because he's going to record it. And he said, "Excuse me, what do you think of the meat shortage?" And he asked the Texan. And the Texan said, "What's a shortage?" He went to the Californian. And he said, could you give me your opinion about the meat shortage?" He said, "What's meat?" He went to the New Yorker. He said, "Excuse me, what do you think about the meat shortage?" And the New Yorker said, "What's excuse me?" We're supposed to be the Texan. What's a shortage?
Right.
What's shortage mean?
That's right.
Amen.
And the one thing we never say is, "Excuse me." I'd never have to say it to God.
Right.
Who's left? I'll tell you what the enemy wants us to understand, that we need to apologize for our stand. Because, you see, I need to say excuse me to the enemy. And I don't care what form they're in. I don't care what form it comes in, whether it's human, animal, vegetable, I don't care what it is. I don't say excuse me for my stand. And if I do, I've insulted my God. This is the Holy Spirit trying to teach us some things. Never, never will I be ashamed of my stand ever again. I've been there, done that, and that's foolish. It's just foolish. And I'm not a fool.
Amen.
All right, let's go ahead and continue with our study. Yeah, next Wednesday we're having that business meeting now. We're going to do some organizational things so that no matter what, God never loses. I was just going to get him a sheet, but I thought I might have an extra one, but I don't. He'll just take good notes. Okay, that perfect memory. Oh, and it's 7 o'clock. We'll start it at 7 o'clock to make sure we don't go to the midnight hour, okay? Because I know everybody's got an opinion in an armpit. All right. What do we know about the Holy Spirit? We know He's real. We know He's as real as God. We know He's the third person of the Trinity. Did you hear what I said? The third person of the Trinity. We know that He was given to those that seek and ask after Jesus returned to earth. We know this? He resides continually if we will allow Him to reside continually. He speaks to us as often as we will listen. He never, so that y'all will catch up right quick, He has no power. The Holy Spirit has no power. He has the power of God. That doesn't mean He keeps it in His pocket and whips it out every once in a while. That means when God wants to deliver power, He's the messenger to bring it. Amen. If He wants to deliver fire, He's the messenger that brings it. He is not fire.
That's right.
He's one that sticks closer than a brother.
Amen.
He's the one. He's the one that encourages and strengthens and teaches. Right? And if we will listen, He's the one that keeps us, our steps ordered.
Yes, man.
Okay. We're studying the attributes of the Holy Spirit. What He does, what He looks like, what He sounds like. And we ended at Romans 8:27 last week, which basically said He makes intercession for us as God wills. I know that's news because most of us thought only Jesus made intercession, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession as God wills. And the reason I bring that up again is because Jesus does make intercession. And the point being, when God wills intercession, heaven and earth moves with intercession.
Amen.
That means Jesus intercedes, the Holy Spirit intercedes, and if we're in line with God, we intercede.
Amen.
Not just Jesus. I like that. It encourages me. Romans 9:1. Let me read that right quick if I see. I'll just tell you, you need to read these things through your notes. He gives life to our conscience. Now, I got some news for you. If a man doesn't operate with a tender conscience, he does not know the Holy Spirit. And my conscience is not judged by anybody's.
That's right.
I can have a conscience dealing with me, a Holy Spirit, tweaking me and touching me about things, and you will never know it. Because it's between Him and I.
Amen.
You don't have to see tears. You don't have to see goosebumps. One of the things we have studied about the Holy Spirit is He is not the Father of goosebumps. He's not the Father of dance steps. He's not the Father of tongues. He's not the Father of anything. He only gives what God wills.
Yes.
He only speaks what God wills. He only moves how God wills. Let me say it another way. He's not just involved with tongues and church dance. He's involved with every facet of my life, in church, out of church, up, down, high, low, it doesn't make any difference what.
Yes.
He's there. All right, Romans 12:1. Over and over and over as you study the Word, one of his priorities, one of his main goals, is to teach you to be holy. In one scripture it says, as the Father's holy.
Amen.
And the conscience is one of the ways he touches us. Word. We've said over and over that the Holy Spirit responds to word. Which makes sense. If God speaks it, it's word. He's got to respond. But all of this, his main focus, no matter where we're looking into the air, where we're praying, eyes shut, unknown language, whether we're sleeping, he's teaching us to be holy as God is holy.
Amen.
If we're not being pushed into holiness, we don't have the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Let me say it another way. If we're not being pushed away from things that are not holy, we don't have the Holy Spirit. I've been in enough churches in my life that most of the time, if Christians knew what they were doing, they'd be blaspheming. Fortunately, they don't know what they're doing. Because I've seen the Holy Spirit be blamed for some really strange things. And I know some of it was not God. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Always remember, if the Holy Spirit's involved, holy's involved. We don't get loosey-goosey. We don't get crazy in the name of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Now, I'm not the judge of crazy. I'm not sitting here saying if it's not done my way, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's not what I'm saying. Because you've heard me say before, I don't care if there's some people want to put some footprints on this ceiling. It's fine with me. As long is somewhere in this process, it's creating holiness. Holy laughter is a good thing. I don't care if people start laughing and fall out in the floor and pass out laughing. As long as to them, holiness is evolving. There's something being broken in your life. And holy is coming out. Holy like God. Romans 14:17. There's only one way to enjoy a good life, and that's in the Holy Spirit. Do you hear me?
Yes,
only way to enjoy a good life is in the Holy Spirit. Christians get the idea that money gives you a good life.
No.
Well, it does if you're in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because then you can enjoy what you're given. But I've shared with you before about people that I know have more money than Carter's got pills. And they don't enjoy a dime of it. They lay awake, scratch their heads, worm, squirm. Only by the Holy Spirit can you enjoy a good life.
Okay.
Romans 15:13. He causes us, or pushes us, or teaches us on how to abound in peace, joy, and hope.
Yeah.
Now we understand what a wealthy man has. Peace, joy, and hope. Now listen to me. I didn't say peace and joy. I said peace, joy, and hope. Why do you say that, Stan? Because we are to never be satisfied. What causes us to stretch in faith is hope. What's hope? Hope is something further than I am right now. Bigger than I am right now. More than I am right now. We use that as a finger cross thing. I hope, I hope, I hope, hope. No, 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 no. No, no, that means I'm at peace and joy right here.
Yep.
But wait till tomorrow.
Amen.
That's hope. Art got a job. Tip of the iceberg. That's hope. That's hope and faith mixed. It comes out different than I hope, I hope, I hope. Lord willing and the creek don't rise. That's not hope. Chapter 2, verse 13. He reveals God's wisdom, or he causes us to revere God's wisdom. And he points out the inferiority of man's wisdom.
Right.
The Holy Spirit's been good with me about that. Because I get to respecting some people for certain things sometimes. And it's not the Holy Spirit does not say he's nothing. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is don't put your hope in man's wisdom. It's nothing. There, look at God's wisdom. If you want something, don't say, I wish I was like him. Say, I wish I was like him.
Amen.
And it's not a wish. You start speaking those things, it'll come about.
Right.
The Holy Spirit will teach. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. He teaches us we are not our own. But the residing place. Now listen to me. We are the residing place of the Spirit and of truth and of God. We are His temple. Now listen to me. Don't let that roll off. That's an important thing I just said. When I begin to understand that I'm the temple, I'm where God wants to reside in the form of the Holy Spirit. I'm the one that God wants the temple to be clean. By the way, Tanya, if you want your house clean, who gets to do it? See there? It's their responsibility. You don't pray that God comes in and cleans it up? That's how Christians pray. Clean me up. God, clean me up. And He says, well, what's your job? I'll help you. I'll give you the tools. I'll give you the information. I'll even point out the cracks and crannies that need to be cleaned the most. But you're going to do the cleaning. Oh, that's not good preaching. That puts a job on me. That's the Holy Spirit. See, you can't fool the Holy Spirit because He knows everything. You can't hide anything. And if you try to hide it, He will reveal it publicly. Isn't that Scripture? He doesn't do this because He's bored. When you make a commitment to God so strong that you get His Spirit, then you get the responsibility of responding to His Spirit. I want that thing cleaned up. She testified about running a migraine headache off. Well, I don't even like the title, migraine headache. I don't know where that came from. It can go back to hell from where it came. But she took a stand against it. Who took a stand against it?
I did. Patrick did.
Why? Do you have the right to do that?
We do.
Actually, you have the responsibility to do that. Because what you've got is you've got the Holy Spirit in you, and you've got this fiery dart, this pestilence that's trying to come in and reside in the same place of the Spirit of God. We are to get mad about that. We are to get angry. We are the residing place of the Spirit of God, the truth of God. If we want to continue that to be that way, we need to clean house. If I find something in my conversation that's not right, I change it. I can pray that God will help, and He will, if I will change. He's not going to just say, you're on your own. That isn't the way it works. But He really wants you to take that first step. I always remember when the water needed to part, nothing parted until the priest put their feet in the water. That means they started walking out in it. That's the way we are. We're not going to get anywhere until we take the chance. We got to take it. Then He's right there to teach, lead, guide, order.
That's right. Jesus didn't pick Peter up out of the boat and put him in the water.
Mm-mm. No, and that's a phenomenal thing because He walked on water because He took the step.
Right.
You know, God wants us to walk on water all the time. We're afraid to take the step. We're too busy telling people, don't you know? You can't walk on water. Well, what happened to your Bible? Did you take it out? 1 Corinthians 7, 14. 1 Corinthians 7, 14. The Holy Spirit in us, which is God in us, causes others to be set apart.
Amen.
We've already covered that He, His total goal in our life is to set us apart, create holiness in an unholy world. Right?
Right.
Now, Him in us causes others to be set apart, even our spouses and children. That's a promise. 1 Corinthians 12, 3. Very, very important. He is the only way to understand Jesus. He's the only way. He's the only way to understand Jesus. Now, Maybe now we can understand that those denominations, those people that reject or are ashamed of the Holy Spirit, why they don't truly understand salvation, Savior, Emmanuel. Because the Holy Spirit is not available to them. The Bible says the only way to understand, comprehend, know, be intimate with Jesus is the Holy Spirit. And I've told you before, I don't know how to describe this, but one time in a church, in the middle of a praise and worship service, Jesus appeared right there on the left-hand side for me, not for everybody else. I don't know what they did for everybody else. It's not my business, everybody else. It's me. Nothing was said, no dancing, no fire, no doves, just His face. And my whole life changed from that point. That's about 25 or so years ago, and my whole life changed. My desire, my hunger, my interest, it all changed. Who do you think did that? Holy Spirit. And that is God, by the way. Well, explain it. Can't. Well, let's reproduce it. Can't. I didn't produce it, so I can't reproduce it. You want it reproduced? You got to seek the producer. I don't know how to do that. 1 Corinthians 14:33. He also reveals the author of confusion. Don't you think that would be just natural? For the author of truth, which is God through the Holy Spirit, just that fact would reveal the author of confusion? Do I need to say it another way? You know how you know what a $100 bill looks like? You handle one. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means if somebody tries to hand you a 50, you know it's not 100. Right? Because I've handled it. I'm familiar with it. It's my family thing. He reveals the author of confusion. Y'all ever see oil and water? Do they mix? It's pretty obvious when water and oil mix, are together in the same place. Well, the Holy Spirit does not have to say, oh, there's the author of confusion. When He comes, they don't mix. That's right. One of them's got to go.
That's right.
And it's going to be the Holy Spirit saying, not here, you don't. That's going to be loud and long if we're familiar with the Holy Spirit. Not here, you don't. 2 Corinthians 6:6. The Holy Spirit reveals to us God in every aspect of our life. Good and bad. It's important that you understand that. The Holy Spirit's trying to get you to understand. And my goodness, that's where it's been the thrust of my messages for quite some time. The Holy Spirit's trying to get you to understand that God is good. He's active in every aspect of your life. Good and bad. Now, the good and bad is for the humanity in us, the human in us. Because sometimes it's God when we don't think it's so good. And yet the Holy Spirit's saying, trust me, it's good. I'll tell you something, if we could just get this down. There's not one negative word that ever comes out of the mouth of God. Therefore, there's not one negative word that ever comes out of the mouth of the Holy Spirit. There's not one negative thought that ever comes out of the mind of God. Therefore, there's not one negative thought that comes out of the mind of the Holy Spirit. If we are playing with negative thoughts, we are not playing with the mind of the Holy Spirit or the mind of God. If something in us says, stop it, change it, don't think that anymore, get it out of your mind, that's the Holy Spirit. We need to listen and obey. Does that mean all negative thoughts will go away? No. That means you won't entertain them.
Amen.
You're not going to serve them wine and cheese when they come in. Let's have a party and talk about it a little bit. No. Some things you do not talk about. You just reject.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 8:4. instructs that all of our life is ministry to the saints. By the way, what was the ministry of Jesus? To and for the saints, right? When he left, the Comforter came. And what is his ministry? To and for the saints. Therefore, if he's active in us, we're going to be a minister to and for the saints. It isn't all about us. This is not about our party and our craft. I want to. This is about what can I do for you? How can I help you? I promise you, if every Christian would get the idea that life is not about them, it's about what can I do for you, that Christian that gets that thought will grow. Amen. Why? Well, for self-preservation of the kingdom, nothing else. God's got to make you smarter or you'll go out there and just breed stupid. Right? If we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, we won't propagate stupid. Right. And it might explain to you what's been happening in the churches for years now. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 13:14 is kind of an extension of the last one. Teaches true communion is in him with saints. Mm-hmm. It gets a little tighter. See, it doesn't say that true communion is with him. It says true communion is in him with saints. Amen. Now, if y'all think about this a little bit, you know that everybody in the world is crazy but you and I, and sometimes I wonder about you. Right? Isn't that right? Yeah. Everybody in the world is crazy but you and I, sometimes I wonder about you. That's humanity. Yeah. The Holy Spirit says, yeah, I know that, but I'm here to help. In Christ Jesus, we can take care of this thing. Now get in there and eat with them. Fellowship. Put your wants and your wishes and your mad down, and let's get to fellowshipping with the saints. Amen. But I don't like the saints. I think I heard God say, I don't either, but that's what I got. Y'all like that one? Sometimes I don't like them either, but they're what I got. And we're going to work on them. And all of you need to say thank you, Jesus, because that applied to me and you and everybody else. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 1:13 reveals that truth, and obeying that truth, we are sealed in and with God's promise. Amen. Now, the reason I'm quoting this, usually, we are not sealed with God's Word. It's a strange thing. It's a strange thing. We don't have all of God's Word unless we have Jesus. And we don't have all of God's Word unless we have Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Right. So just to claim a Bible saying, I'm sealed by what's written here, not enough. Why? How do you come up with that? Satan knows the Bible better than we do, right?
Yeah, right.
He went to Jesus and he said, if you'll do this, according to the Word, if you'll do this. How many times have you heard people do that? Quote a word. Jesus said, but it also says. How can, what are you saying, Stan? I'm saying that we don't have all of it until we have all of it.
Yeah.
We can't, what Christians will do without the Holy Spirit is they'll grab pieces of the Scripture and hold on to that. Because that's all they want. They don't want God in His fullness. They don't want Jesus in His fullness. They don't want the Holy Spirit in His fullness. No more than they want the Word and its fullness. So the only way you're going to grab and get smart and get to be able to use the Word is to take all of God. The Trinity also. All of the Trinity. We just need to learn to say, I can't do without all of the Trinity. Because now we're taking all of the Word. It's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. When I started crying out for that, I had to unlearn everything that I knew. And y'all laugh. You think that's just evangelistically speaking, but I promise you, I guarantee you, I spent a solid 10 years of study to unlearn what I'd already been taught. And I still fight that today. That's where your flesh wants to run back to. That safe place called law. Law's not safe. It's not full, it's not complete. The Bible tells you that from Genesis to Revelation, not just in the New Testament. It tells you that the Bible is not complete without the Word being Jesus, the Word being the Holy Spirit in you. Truth is in obeying, or being sealed is in obeying the truth in God. Now, one other thing I need to tell you, and I will remind you of that one time that just shook my foundation when I reached for the doorknob and God said, "It's my word, you'll use it when I tell you to." We get so strong, supposedly in the Spirit, we think the word is ours because people say that. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. We can be in the Word, but we can never own the Word. Yeah, right. Well, why do you...
Isn't that what Jesus was saying to the Pharisees when they said, well, it's a Sabbath, you can't do anything?
Yeah.
He said, no.
The Word was owning them
yeah.
in captivity. When God spoke that to me, all that could do is just rattle everything that I thought I knew. And here's the cool part about the Holy Spirit. While He's got you rattled, He'll teach you something. He'll teach you something. So I said, "What do you want me to do?" And He said, "Nothing." Now, when's the last time you ever heard God the Word telling you don't do anything? Well, that's because many times we're a whole lot more full of do than listen. And so God's teaching me, don't do anything, listen. See, if He tells you don't do anything, you're going to be a lot more apt to listen because you know He won't say that forever. He can tell you to do something and you can do that forever and be satisfied. But if He tells you to do nothing, then here's what you're going to be doing. You know good and well He's not going to leave it there. So you just got to wait. You got to wait until He changes that story. You know He's going to. You just don't know when. You don't know when. That's part of hope.
Yeah.
Ephesians 1:18. The Holy Spirit, through truth, gives revelation.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit, through truth. Truth is a man named Jesus, right? It's through God the Father and His spoken word. That's true. Gives revelation, gives understanding, explains calling, gives riches and inheritance. See, it's not enough. No Christian should ever think they've arrived because they have not yet received their inheritance. That's where your hope is. I'm not hoping I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I'm not hoping I healed. I know I'm healed.
Amen.
I'm not hoping I have wisdom. The Bible says I have it.
That's right.
Well, after you get everything that God says, which none of us have, by the way, if we got it all, we wouldn't have any hope. Well, you forgot that little word called inheritance. Right?
Amen.
Through truth. That truth and obeying the truth. Gives revelation, understanding, explains calling, gives riches, inheritance. Isn't that amazing? I don't know how many times I've heard people talk about revelation when I knew they didn't even know the Holy Spirit, so I know it's impossible to have revelation. You can have an epiphany. You can decide, I'm dumber than a post and I need some wisdom and I need some revelation. And so you start seeking the source. That would be an epiphany. Yes, sir. I can get on the scale and I can find out I weigh too much and I need to do something about it and I start. That's epiphany. Revelation would be if I just went and I ate gourds all the rest of my life, I'd be skinny. Does that make sense? It's simple to me. How many times have you got on the scale and realized you need to do something? That man's a liar. He said a couple. That's information. I'll give you another joke. I'll help you understand this. An epiphany. The man's walking along. He realizes inside of him he needs a life change. So he decides to go to church. That's an epiphany. He has a change of thought. I'm going to go to church. He sits in the sermon. He gets visibly changed. Something happens to him. He comes up to the preacher and he says, "Thank you for the sermon. Thank you for the message. I came in here to steal a hat because I lost my hat. But in the process, God revealed some things to me. And I've got to change." Pastor says, "That's good. The Ten Commandments is what I preached on today. And I'm glad you understand that stealing is a bad thing." "Oh," he said, "I understood that already. That wasn't what changed my mind. The revelation was, I remembered the other one about thou shalt not commit adultery, and I remember where I lost my hat." That's revelation. Wanting a life changed would be an epiphany. How to pinpoint and change the life would be revelation. I knew that joke would come in handy for something. It's cool, though, that the Holy Spirit did both of them. We go back to this man. The Holy Spirit wasn't the Father. God the Father told the Holy Spirit how to do this. Here's what you need to do. Something in you need to change. Go to this church. In that church, and that's what we found out about the Holy Spirit, when you seek word, when you're hungry and you ask, He also tells you, He pinpoints. "I remember where I left my hat." Which means, don't do that again. Amen. Don't go there. Leave the hat. Just like Joseph left the coat. You leave the hat, man. Exactly. Don't even think about it. Ephesians 2:21 shows how we become a part of the temple of God. It begins to explain. So with understanding, it's easy to say, "I'm the temple." But you're wrong. I'm part of the temple. So the first visitation says you're the temple. Because you fellowship in the communion with the saints, because ministry is for the saints, you are now part of the temple. Ephesians 3:5 tells it that there are special revelations and truths that can only come through the prophets and the apostles. Now, you want me to tell you how I know that the Holy Spirit is not very welcome in most churches? They don't believe in the apostles and prophets. They believe they died back there when Jesus entered the earth. You know what they're really saying? Let me say it technically correct. They believe that the apostles and the prophets died because nobody else... How can I say this? Only those that saw Jesus could be prophet apostles. Which is ridiculous. You can go back to the Old Testament, you know better than that. But that's how they write off the apostles and the prophets. No. They deny. Yeah.
So that was for them, this is for now.
Well, and here's the dangerous part about denying the Holy Spirit or the power thereof, is that you must give credit to something else. If you don't give credit to the Holy Spirit, you are required and bound to give it to somebody else. So you're already getting hard-hearted, stiff-necked, tough-minded, and you may blaspheme if you continue on that. And I'm not in that job, and I don't define that. I don't want to go anywhere near it. The Holy Spirit tells us there are special revelations in truth that can only come through the prophets and the apostles. Well, how do you explain that, Stan? I don't. I don't have the slightest idea why God put that in his plans. But I know that he did. Do I like it? Not particularly. But I know that he did. Ephesians 3:8. There's only one way to see true riches, and that's in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit is faithful to show us that. Ephesians 4:12. You're familiar with this one. He perfects saints for the ministry. We just covered that in an earlier scripture. He's not working on you to make you good. He's working on you to make you a good minister. Which is not about you. It's about somebody else. Ephesians 5:27. Listen to this carefully. Through Him is the only way to become a bride without spot or wrinkle. Amen. Now what I just said should be earth-shaking, because there's only one acceptable bride, and that is one without spot or wrinkle.
Yeah.
Isn't that who He's coming for?
Yeah.
Well, according to this scripture, the Holy Spirit is the only way that you can be perfected to that point, to be without spot or wrinkle. It doesn't mean that everything you do is perfect. That's not what I'm saying. But He can keep your heart and mind pure so that when Jesus returns, or when He looks at you, you are a bride without spot or wrinkle.
Yeah.
Colossians 1:26. Mysteries that have been hidden for ages are revealed through Him. Mysteries that have been hidden for ages are revealed through the Holy Spirit. Sometime on a very individual basis. Sometimes publicly. His job is to reveal mysteries. Why? Well, God doesn't want you to have... He doesn't want you walking without understanding. It's going to be mysteries to those that have no understanding, but it won't be to you. I'll say something. Let me rile you just a little bit to make sure you stay awake. There is no such thing as migraine headaches. There's no such thing as a migraine headache. There's no such thing as cancer.
Amen.
It's a mystery that the Holy Spirit wants to be revealed. And yet, in our society, we don't care about the Holy Spirit and we don't care about mysteries. And all I got to do is for you guys not to listen to me is to say that. Okay? It's been revealed to me. If you don't want it, well, that's okay. How do you reveal a mystery? Reveal Jesus. Get an understanding of what happened on the cross. Get a true understanding, and you'll understand what I just said about there is no such thing.
Amen. Right.
First Thessalonians 1:5. Here's something we need to have down deep. And I'll say that to anyone that does not have great assurance in their life. You don't know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you great assurance. The Holy Spirit explains things to you, which causes you to be more sure, not less sure. So those people that never get surety in their life, they don't know the Holy Spirit. They reject Him. They reject His truths. They reject His pointing out those cobwebs and stuff that need to be cleaned. It keeps you worried. He gives great assurance. First Thessalonians 3:13. Oh, this is cool. He establishes our hearts unblameable. You don't have this one. This is fresh off the press. I'll bring you one next week. No, the week after, because next week we got something else to do. First Thessalonians 3:13. He, not Oprah, establishes our hearts unblameable.
Amen.
He, not the psychiatrist.
Amen.
Not the psychologist. Amen. Not the bank account.
That's right.
He establishes our hearts unblameable. That's why we have so much assurance.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
2 Timothy 1:9. The Holy Spirit reveals your holy calling. Which is, now you reach out and touch some of the messages that have been coming. It reveals your holy calling. Now listen to this. According to His purpose.
Yeah.
Too many times, and you guys think back a couple of years ago, and you can remember one big monster that walked into the church that had a calling, but not according to His purpose. Yeah, God's purpose. Not according to God's purpose. So, a calling, we need to stop putting it in some gaseous form. Everybody here has a calling. But that's not good enough. You need to know the calling according to His purpose. Part of the understanding we're getting is His purpose is for the saints. But that's still not good enough. You need on a moment-by-moment basis to know what my purpose is for this moment. Not for tomorrow, for this moment.
Amen.
God, reveal to me my purpose for this moment. Then I'll know about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself.
Yeah.
If I'll just accept Him as the explainer, as the revealer.
Amen.
He also causes us to understand that our calling is holy. Do you understand that if you don't understand your calling is holy, you can't walk holy and blameless? Why do you think He says, don't touch my anointed? Let Him say it another way. Don't touch my holy. Be cautious when you touch the holy. I didn't call it holy. God did. 2 Timothy 1:13 and 14. He causes us to treasure sound teaching. Are you hearing that?
Yes, sir.
We don't turn our back on sound teaching now, but more so, or even also, that sound teaching we've had in the past, we treasure it and value it. It molds and shapes our life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people think this is comical, but I never touched a drop of beer in my life because my granddad, when I was young, said, they can pour it back in the mule as far as I'm concerned. And that sound teaching stuck with me all the days of my life. That's a very sound teaching. They can pour it back in the mule as far as I'm concerned. Come on. Sound teaching is not just a preacher standing up and quoting Scripture.
Right.
Sound teaching is sound teaching.
Yeah.
Sound teaching came from the Bible study last night when we talked about we like to blame the devil for what we do wrong. Instead of say, it's my mistake and I'm going to change.
Yeah.
We talk about an entity that's very limited in time and space. We're serving a God that's omnipotent and omnipresent. And then we talk about the devil like he's omnipotent and omnipresent. When he's not. He doesn't even know what I think.
That's right.
It's hard to know much of anything if you got somebody's foot on your neck.
Well, you know the foot's on your neck.
It's hard to see much.
If I screw up, the only way to be saved is to say, I screwed up, and I'm sorry, and I'm not going to do that anymore.
Yeah.
You don't say, the devil made me do it, because that glorifies him.
Yep.
If you're a boob, say I'm a boob. Don't say the devil made me a boob. Because you take away power of God in your life and delegate it or relegate it to somebody else.
Right.
The Holy Spirit would like us to understand. He doesn't like our mouths and our thoughts and our actions sometimes.
Yeah.
And all He wants us to say is, I'm the one standing in the need of prayer.
Amen.
we can probably stop there. We stopped where? Ah, right there. The height and the depth and the width or the breadth. We have a hard time comprehending how good God is. Because too many times we blame something or somebody else. The strongest teaching that I could ever teach a child is to be quick to repent. And the only way to repent is say, it's my fault. I can't say somebody else or something else made me do it. Because that is not repenting. That's trying to sick God after somebody else. And it ain't going to work. There's not anybody in here that's going to take a prayer and sick God on anything.
Right.
You're not that smart. You're not that good. Today I was trying to get Connie to guide me to back up the double trailer into another trailer hitch. She goes to telling me how. I wanted to get out and whack her. Don't tell me how to do this. I was doing this nearly before you were born. I was doing it before you were born. I was doing that before you were born. And she has the gall to try to tell me. She doesn't. All I wanted to do is tell me where the hitch was. Make your petitions known boldly. I need it here. Instead, we spend time telling God how to get it here. The Holy Spirit will give us wisdom on not to tell God how to do things. He will reveal to us how much smarter God is than me. Y'all got that?
Yep.
One of the things the Holy Spirit will do to us is stop letting us be proud in our own wisdom and our own understanding.
Yeah.
We don't have any. Do you understand? There's nobody in this church room right now that has any wisdom or any understanding. None. So don't tell me how smart you are. Because all that tells me is how dumb you are. I am not smart without God, without the Holy Spirit. I have nothing to offer anybody.
Right.
Not one thing. If He doesn't move on me when I get up here, I will spout me all over you.
Yeah.
That's all I'll do. That's what Christians do and blame the Holy Spirit. God teaches. I didn't hear any resounding amens on that one, did I? But I gave you truth.
Amen.
It's sound teaching.
Amen.
You don't want to know what. You don't want to know what I've learned. You know how most of us learn? Through mistakes.
Yeah.
Not through revelation. I shared with you a couple of things that I've learned through revelation tonight. But I can take no credit in getting it. You understand what I just said? I'm telling you, you can chase God for the rest of your life and you won't find Him. You can hunger and thirst and you get Him. Right? How many of you are like me that when you get thirsty, you lose your mind? Come on. You can't think of nothing. You got to get something to drink and that's all on your mind. And everything else, you're just grumpy about. Right? Now we can understand how God wants us to be. Yes, I can't think of anything else. I can't even concentrate. I'm going to stop and I'm going to go get me a drink. And if I get hungry, some of y'all have worked around me. When it comes eating time, it's eating time. That's it, man. We'll break in 30 minutes. No, we won't. No, it's now. That's right. That's right. It's exactly right. Never comes. I just got to finish this one. No. No. Now. And then God writes in the Bible, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll get it. That means nothing else matters. My stand, how you look at me, doesn't make any difference. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good and his ways are better.
Amen.
I don't know if that makes any sense, but I'm just going to say it. Anybody can say God is good, but his ways are better.
Amen.
All right. Anybody got anything to say? We got you on tape. All right. Father, we thank you. That your presence changes us. We thank you that when we have looked into your word and we've opened our hearts and become innocent before you, that your presence is everywhere. We can't walk into your presence and not be changed. That is such a great thought, that no matter how much education or the lack thereof, how old or how young, that if we walk into your presence, every time we walk in, we are changed. And the Bible says, glory to glory. We're not changed backwards. We're changed forward.
Amen.
And if I believe that, and I do, and if I obey the word, and I read, and I study, then I am going to be changed for the better every day.
Amen.
Better than promotions, better than salary increases, better than anything the world has to offer. More assurance, more understanding, more revelation. And God, I'm a greedy guy. I want more. I want more. More of you. And I speak for everybody here. I know their hearts saying the same thing. Treat us as a hungry and thirsty people. Use us in the kingdom. And for these things, we ask you and thank you. In Jesus' name, and everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.